There's a gentleman who's quite learned in this subject. His name is Chris Mitchell. And he's on the line with us here. You know what? Here, let's just bring him on here. Yeah, hey, Chris.
Howdy.
How do you do? Where are you? And tell us there's so many different internet URLs that are associated with you. Tell us how you want to be introduced and how you want to make your imprint on this world here. Okay.
Sure. My organization is the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. We're up here in Minneapolis, and most of our work on broadband is at muninetworks.org.
Okay. All righty. Now, why should a local local government, I assume that's what it means, right? Local government, installing almost all the time, very, very expensive infrastructure to serve its community with either free or very low cost broadband internet service. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, it's pretty close. I would just say that most of the time it's actually not free. It's pretty rare that it's free just because of that high cost of doing it. But
okay.
What we see is a lot of communities where whether it's AT&T or a cable company, they're not offering fast enough service, or it's not even reliable enough. And so you may have situations where, as in Wilson, North Carolina, when it rained hard, a lot of times the cable network would stop working. And so businesses couldn't be on the internet after a big rainstorm or during a big rainstorm. And so there's issues aside from just capacity and high speed. Sometimes it's pricing. But when communities are dissatisfied, a lot of times the only option they really have to get better internet is to build it themselves. And that's because it's incredibly hard for another private sector company to come in and build the network that's necessary due to what we call market power. But you can just sort of think of it as the bullying power of the existing cable or telephone company.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Is it true that throughout the country, these larger companies like AT&T and Comcast are lobbying the lawmakers to make it illegal for municipalities to build their own broadband networks? Is that true?
They absolutely are. Yes, they've been doing it for a number of years, and they had a big success in 2004, 2005, when a number of states considered and pushed through a variety of barriers, sometimes bans, on local community networks. And then it was sort of quiet for a number of years. And then over the last year or two, we've seen a lot more efforts from these big companies.
How can that be justified if a community wants to, be in charge of its own destiny as far as, internet connectivity is concerned? And not, well, I don't think we have any real complaints around here, because the phone lines didn't light up when I invited people to call 479-1080 and tell us what they think of their service. Actually, I'm sort of just doing that right now.
Right. Well, I think there's two issues, and maybe this will cause the lines to light up. One is that the reason it really happens, which is because these cable and telephone companies give a heck of a lot of money to state-level representatives, and so they have a lot of sway, and so it doesn't really matter what arguments they use. They get their way in the state legislature often. Uh-huh. There's actually a series of articles from the L.A. Times that did a real good job exposing the power of L.A. in AT&T in Sacramento. And so that's the real reason it happens, is simply because these big companies have a lot of lobbying resources. But the reason that they give in their publicity campaigns is that it's not the proper role of government to compete with the private sector. And I think that, in a number of cases, we would agree that we don't want to see local governments taking over and, underpricing coffee shops or grocery stores. But in the case of broadband, as you have identified, it's just too important. And when the private sector isn't getting the job done, we absolutely think communities should be able to.
So it's probably not an issue here in our neck of the woods, because I've been pretty happy with my broadband service. I do think that paying $69 a month for it is a little much, and I have nothing to base this on, but it just a gut feeling I think I should be able to get it for $20 a month and have the company that provides it still make plenty of money. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. There's the margins on this service are incredibly high. And so what that means is if you saw that Comcast was offering services for $10 a month to low-income families that are in the program for reduced school lunches, that's a program they have nationwide now. They're still making money on that. This is a business that's incredibly profitable, and in areas where there's competition, indeed we do see the prices drop because they can drop a lot and offer you faster speeds without it impinging on their profits. But you know, to answer your question, which you've sort of raised twice, is that you're happy with your speeds because they're faster than they were a few years ago. But the reality is they could be much, much faster. We've seen modest increases in speeds over the years, but around the world, we're seeing almost quantum leaps. And it worries me to some extent how our economy is going to do if you can't put up with that.
I see. So are we becoming sort of a third world country as far as internet connectivity is concerned?
No, I wouldn't say we're becoming a third world country, but third world countries are surpassing us in some cases.
Maybe a fourth world country then.
Well, you know, what's important is that we still have our innovation and a lot of other things. And so fortunately, I think broadband speed is not destiny. We have other things going for us. But the reality is if you spent 2 weeks using a connection like in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which has the best network available in the nation, and then you went back to what you have, you would be very disappointed.
We'd be throwing rocks at our current service probably, huh?
You very well may. And then there's also, I mean, in San Luis Obispo County, there's a tremendous lack of real access to broadband. And so I don't know how you define your neck of the woods, but I think you don't have to travel very far away from where you are to find people that have just terrible access.
Yeah, 2.5 hours south of us is where San Luis Obispo is located. By the way, I'm advised that we have a very special friend and former and hopefully future talk host on KSCO, Mr. Logic from The Thinking Machine for many years, is on Skype with us. Are you there, ML?
Can you hear me?
I hear you great. Yeah, good. Now, you're in Paradise, California, right?
That's right.
And you have what's your broadband service like?
Well, I'm using my neighbor's. He actually has a transmitter that transmits to my house, and so I can log in under his account.
Oh, well, that's nice. So this is just he does this you a favor. You guys split the cost of it, or how does that work?
He does us a favor. Uh-huh. I mean, he's got a lot of computer usage of his own, and so since I'm right here, he just lets me tap in. You know, it's with his permission, of course.
Yeah, what a nice neighbor.
Oh, yeah, he's cool. A great guy.
Now, what about, since you don't pay the bill, you can certainly, you can't really comment on the value, and the relative value that you believe that you're getting, but what about the quality of service? You're sort of out in, you're not in a major metropolitan area, obviously, so.
Well, I'm at the tail end of the priority list, and so I tend to have rather slow connections here. I'm also several hundred feet away from his house, and so it's adequate for what I'm using it for, but it's probably not as good as what he is getting at his house.
I see. Well, so Chris, tell us more about Chattanooga and how they got there. Was the population pretty much dissatisfied with the broadband that was being provided commercially?
They were. They have actually Comcast and AT&T. Only
just like us.
Yeah, the only thing is that you guys get the upgrades a lot faster than they were getting. They were consistently at the end of the upgrade cycle for those two companies. So. Uh-huh. They were much more dissatisfied. While I was in Chattanooga, to kick this off, I should note that I met people that were 25, 24 years old, young entrepreneurs recently out of college, who are building companies in Chattanooga, and they literally decided not to move to Silicon Valley, as you said, Silicon Valley, right?
Right.
And they moved to Chattanooga instead.
Interesting. So wow. The quality of a community's broadband service can have a large effect on their economy, huh?
Oh yeah, one in three new jobs in Tennessee is in the area around Chattanooga, and the network is a big part of it. They're literally telling businesses, you know, if you want to see what the world's going to be like, what kind of broadband connections the rest of the country will have in 5 or 10 years, come here. We have it today.
What a so, and actually, great marketing plan.
Very the slowest connection you can get in Chattanooga from the city is 30 megabits per second symmetrical, which means it's probably faster than you experience even if you're paying $100 a month to Comcast on the download, and it's just way faster than anything Comcast has on the upload. And so that really matters for local businesses and people who are creative and creating content, which I'm guessing you have a lot of those kind of people there.
Oh, a lot, yeah. And so tell me, is it possible, do you think it's possible for anybody other than a mega company, a mega communications company like Comcast or AT&T, to provide service? I mean, there was a gentleman who we hope will call in named Don Fredrickson, who is the owner of a local internet service provider called Got.net, a wonderful company, a wonderful gentleman. I hope he'll call in now and sort of get his give us his feedback on this whole thing. But what do you think? I mean, the costs are still the costs, right, Chris? I mean, right. And they're not inexpensive.
It is. There's also another company, Sonic.net, that has done a good job in north of San Francisco, and they are moving into San Francisco. But the reality is that, you know, they do a tremendous job. They offer far better service and speeds than you can get from the Comcast and AT&T's, but they have to expand very slowly because it's a hard business model. And as soon as you try to replicate the large scale, you start cutting back on services and support. And so the reality is then if I wanted to come in and you and I wanted to set up shop and we wanted to compete with Comcast in your neighborhoods, what would happen is Comcast would cut its prices in half and we would be struggling to find subscribers, because even though you and I would build a network that was way better, the reality is a lot of people are just going to respond to the lower price, and Comcast can almost always cut its prices below what a new entrant can do, because we have to pay for the cost of just building our network.
Uh-huh.
Comcast paid for that price a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's open the phone lines here. If you want to comment on broadband or the whole idea of a local government taking over what is commonly viewed as a public utility that is regulated, and Comcast and AT&T are regulated by the state public utilities commissions just everywhere. Am I right?
Mostly, yeah. It varies from state to state, but there's some level of regulation.
Uh-huh. And if you want to comment on that discussion that we're in right now on the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, give us a call at 479-1080. We're talking with Chris Mitchell from Muni. What's the organization again? Muni what? I'm going to write it down this time.
MuniNetworks.org, as in municipal. So MUNI Networks.org.
Okay. Which is based in Minneapolis. And we also have Mr. Logic, who hasn't been on with us for quite a while. We're delighted that he's on here with us on Skype, and hopefully he'll stay with us for the remainder of the program. Mr. Logic is KSCO's resident superior intellect, has been for many, many years, although he has been on hiatus here. he hates it when I say that. Let's take our next our first caller here of the day. That would be, I want to lock Chris in here so that we don't lose him. Let's go to Mike in Scotts Valley. Mike, welcome to the Saturday special with Chris and Mr. Logic and MZ. You're on the air.
Yeah, interesting show. I just want to throw out a couple of things, because just listening to you guys kind of raised a couple of ideas. I don't know particularly the nature of broadband signal, how it's processed, but it makes me think of the community credit unions, community radio. I mean, what's to stop those, the people to get together to have smaller outlets for internet signal? The thing that I'm thinking about particularly is that the guest speaker talked about price, and that's one of the points, but people also like good service. I mean, you know, you on KCO talk about the connection to the community and radio that's community oriented and service oriented. So applying those same ideas, like credit unions, like local radio community stations and community TV, what's to stop people from getting together to offer service as well as Signal from some of these bigger companies, because people do value service, not just low price point.
Yeah, and for, especially if you're using it for business purposes. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you know, I don't want to say money is no object for us, but it's real important that we have a really, you know, dependable, stable, low-jitter broadband service so that, you know, when you hear Dr. Corey Gold here during the week, who is broadcasting from a remote location, or Dr. Bill Wattenberg, or anybody for that matter, that it doesn't break up, it doesn't cut out. Of course, you need it on both ends. You need really good, stable service on both ends for it to work.
So my question to the guest is, you know, if we have alternative media sources with community radio, shortwave, and currently internet, what's to stop people that would be willing to, organize together to get independent service for broadband?
Well, it's a terrific question, and there's no real legal barrier. In fact, there are organizations throughout California that are trying to organize cooperative-type solutions. The barrier they run into is that it's very expensive. And so if you want to do a very high-quality connection, that typically means going with a wired fiber optic solution, and that means you have to get on poles, or you have to dig in the ground, you have to, you know, find ways of crossing a large territory. So it's expensive, and so you have to find a way to access capital, and because of the difficulty of having a successful business model when you're competing with a Comcast or an AT&T, investors aren't very excited to just throw money at a project like that. And so, you know, a lot of times there's a willingness and there's an organization. In the case of El Dorado County, there's a group that's been organizing for 2 years there and trying to raise the money to build a cooperative network along credit union type of lines. So now if you want to go with a wireless solution, that's something that's a little less expensive typically. And so you can certainly do that with less access to capital. And we've seen that in a number of rural areas. It's called wireless internet service providers, or WISPs. And it's more common in rural areas.
We've got a really good one here, a good wireless company called Etheric Networks. Wonderful, wonderful company. In fact, we're going to be running ads for that company here pretty quick.
Last thought would be, it seems like if you wanted to spread that idea, the best place to do it would be a central target point first, that the that people see that it actually works in a place like, say, Santa Cruz Central. Out in that area. From there, as people get the idea that this can actually work, then you can expand from there. But your point would need to be maybe started in a central place where it's easy to establish credibility of it functioning, and the idea spread out from that center ring.
Right. Okay. Well, Mike, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. It's 10:32 here. We're going to take our commercial break. You're listening to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's we don't have to keep to this subject, but if you're interested, I'm particularly interested in how many people listen to KSCO who consider broadband, you know, high speed internet, very important. I used to think it was a lot of people, but I got to share with our audience that since we've been involved in coming up with a system to adapt our longevity nutritional supplement program to other stations around the country, we found that there are certain people. I guess I would say there are younger people, for example, who just can't live without broadband, and a lot of the people who listen to talk radio couldn't give a damn about it, right? I mean, who needs it at all? That's what the radio is for. Anyhow, 479-1080 in area 831. If you want to chime into this conversation, we'd love to hear you. Our guest is Chris Mitchell from an organization called MuniNetworks.org. And we will be right back after this commercial break. Stay with us, please.
Those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer are just about here. And that means...
Wait, let me guess. Baseball, barbecues, girls on the beach.
Well, yes, Charlie, that's true. But it also means it's time for electrical safety.
Oh, of course. Hi, Charlie Friedman here with Chris Jensen from JM Electric. Summer is the time for electrical safety.
That's right, Charlie. Every year, thousands are injured or killed by electricity around the home. But thankfully, we now have incredible technologies today, like arc fault circuit interrupters and tamper-resistant receptacles that can protect you from those electrical fires and shocks. JM Electric is happy to help folks out with a free home assessment to see if any of these devices or our current safe testing services are a good fit for their home.
Give my friends at JM Electric a call. They'll come to your home, have an expert look at your electrical systems, and tell you what can be done to make your home safe, just like they did for my home, and their visit won't cost you a dime. Give JM Electric a call at 422-7819 or visit jmelectric.com or on Facebook and tell them Charlie sent you.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
My name is Mickey Phelps, Executive Chef at Crown Cafe and Deli Catering, powered by Scotts Valley Market. The reason we opened a deli in Capitola is because we wanted to be more mid-county so we can reach more audiences and target our catering business and really focus on our catering business. So it made it a lot easier for us to be in mid-county. Some of the popular sandwiches that we have are going to be the Mountain Man, which is a tri-tip with onion rings, bacon, and all the fixings. It's got barbecue sauce on it. And the other one is the Irish, corned beef, coleslaw on a nice marble dry with a nice Thousand Island dressing. But all our sandwiches are pretty popular. And we also offer salads. Don't forget that we have outdoor seating and we also have a nice barbecue where we barbecue every day. Nice tri-tip, skirt steak, chicken, and even sausages. Crown Cafe Deli and Catering is located at 3555 Suite G, Claire's Street in Capitola in the Brown Ranch Marketplace.
Reach for the sky. Hello, I'm Chris Gallardi of Specialized Aviation at the Watsonville and Monterey Airports. You can reach for the sky in one of Specialized Aviation's airplanes or helicopters. And it will be so easy, you'll wonder why you waited so long to fly.
Hello, I'm Mary McDonald. I'm an aerobatic pilot here at Specialized Aviation. Join us at the Watsonville Aviation Thrill Center for all kinds of extreme flying fun. I'm talking aerobatics from 3,000 feet, where you loop, roll, spin, and dance over the Monterey Bay, or a graceful helicopter tour for that over-the-top view of all the magic the beautiful Monterey Bay has to offer, or take on the adventure and challenge of learning to fly a helicopter or an airplane, or jump out of an airplane in free fall from 14,000 feet. It's all here, and at prices starting at only $33.
Specialized Aviation at the Watsonville and Monterey Airports, 831-763-2244, or sphelly.com.
From Capitola to Carmel, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special, talking about community broadband. I've been remiss in not letting our listeners know that today is a K-Day, a wonderful opportunity for you to come by 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz. Meet Kay, who has is here autographing books. And every time you buy a book, every time you buy a group of books, it 100% of the proceeds go to helping this independent radio station, which is one in a million. And it's becoming more and more rare every day, stations such as this. There are various ways you can support KSCO. The number one way is, of course, to go to our do business with our advertisers and let them know that the reason that you're there is because of their spots that you heard on KSCO. Another way is to buy Kay's book, which is for KSCO, I'm Kay's Whirling. And if you want an autographed copy of the book, we have special pricing now. They make great gifts. I can't think of a better gift. Come on down, buy half a dozen of them. First one's $25. Each one is $15 after that. Kay will inscribe each one of them for you and for your individual people that you want to give gifts to. And as I said, all proceeds of the book, not 80%, not 20%, not 10%, but 100% goes right into the KSCO bank account to enable us to serve our communities better. Okay, back to the phone lines. Let's go to line three here. B.O.B. B.O.B. What kind of a name is B.O.B.? I've heard that name before. It's been a while. B.O.B., you're on the air on KSCO.
And I have many times been.
Yes.
I want to specific. Can you hear me?
Yes, but someone's breathing into the microphone. I don't know whether it's Chris or Mr. Logic, but someone's doing this, making it impossible for us to hear.
Okay, well, then let me change my mode down from speakerphone setting to translate to the...
You're taking too long, B.O.B. Get to the point.
Yeah, it's better.
Get to the point. What did you call for?
Here. This. I want to know this baud rate. I have a friend who, because of me, 10 years ago, he is listening to KSCO, or also now called Coast to Coast AM, and he wants to know how can he get high baud rate. He lives on top of Mount Madonna.
I have no idea. I don't think
You were saying Comcast and or...
AT&T. Those are the only providers. Those are the only wired providers that I know of. There's a wonderful company called Etheric Networks.
Is that available on the mountains?
I think so. Actually,
What's it called?
Etheric Networks. I'm gonna.
For
Richard,
now?
Can you find out can you get a phone number or contact for us?
Is this Chris?
We've got that. We've got Richard working on that, and I'm going to put that information out. Yeah, for all of you who are listening to us from a rural area where you can't get AT&T or Comcast broadband, a wired signal, Etheric Networks, from everybody that I know, including myself, I am a customer of Etheric Networks. They have excellent, excellent wireless service.
What's the baud rate?
I think it's every bit as strong as Comcast, which is at least
tell
12
me the
or
number.
30. I don't know. Please. I don't know. Sorry, I don't know.
I'm not trying to accuse you. I just
I don't know. I've told you.
So that's why I'm asking you. Okay. I thought you knew more than I did.
Okay. No, I don't.
Okay. You do. And
all right, there goes B.O.B. Pain in the ass here. So but I'm happy he brought up the head end at Mount Madonna, and Mount Madonna can see quite a lot of the Monterey Bay area, and if you want to get in touch with Etheric Networks, here's the phone number: area code 650-399-4200. 650 area code 399-4200. Okay. So let's go back to the calls now. Our next caller will be Bob in Carmel. Bob, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
I love those Mickey Phelps advertisements, but they always make me so hungry. So anyway, good to hear. It's a great program. Well, first, I'm not young. I'm 77. I'm an avid, as MZ knows, I'm an avid conservative talk radio fan, and I could not do without the broadband. And I'll give you a couple of good reasons. One is, here in Carmel, a lot of the AM stations have a tremendous amount of static, at least where I am.
Sure.
And I found a fantastic little product, and I don't have any stock in it, called iHome. But it's a clock radio that you can plug your iPod or your iPhone into the top. And I've got a Wi-Fi in my house, so I can put my iPhone there, and I can select any station anywhere in the world that has a program I want to listen to, and I hear it right over the radio perfectly clear with no static. So that's one big, big plus. Second is a lot of times I'll miss a program. For example, I'm a big Mark Levin fan, and if I'm away in the afternoon, well, then I'll go on the Internet and listen to his podcast in the evening. And then lastly, when I'm traveling in my car, a lot of times I'll just use my iPhone and listen to talk radio. So I think the combination of talk radio and the broadband is amazingly powerful.
And, I couldn't agree with you more, Bob. And you're a pretty tech-savvy dude at 77, I must say.
Well, I'll give you some interesting history, MZ. I started in computers in 1971 when I got out of the Navy. And at that time, I was with City Service in Oklahoma. They had an IBM 650. That was one of the first computers. And the first computer program I wrote was all zeros and ones. That's the only way you could program them. They had no independent printers. You had to wire these big boards up and plug them into these huge machines. And I'm just amazed every day when I see how far things have come.
Hey, Mr. Logic, does that ring a bell for you, Mr. Logic? You know how to program in machine language, which is, well, it's a little bit more than zeros and ones, right? Mr. Logic, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine, yeah.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. I started back in the 1960s, and I was using Fortran back in those days. I kind of downgraded my level to machine language programming as time went on, and I started with the high level languages like Fortran. Eventually, when the Apple computer came out, it had BASIC.
Oh no! I think we lost Mr. Logic because
program very much like Fortran. But you could also program it in hexadecimal, which is essentially ones and zeros.
I actually misspoke, Mr. Logic. I did start in the early 1960s, Hello? Not the 70s. And in fact, you'll remember if you were there, the next step up from just programming zeros and ones was a program called SOAP, Symbolic Optimal Assembly Program. And we just loved that because we could write out one instruction with three letters and read a card and go to. And then the other programs all evolved over time. But it's just incredible. I know I got my first home computer. It was a Mac Classic. I forget what it was called, but one of the first little Macs that came out. And
the 128K Mac. We have one of those here.
And
My mother got one of the first ones in 1984.
I thought you had to learn some kind of programming like BASIC, which I programmed in Fortran and BASIC and all those things. And then I found out, no, you don't have to do that. Other people are doing it for you, and you just add the programs on. But you remember, you all remember how difficult it was to install a new piece of software or to upgrade something. You're putting disks in and out. And
hey, you know what, you guys? I have a sinking feeling that we're losing 99% of our audience now because we're way too technical, and most of the people couldn't give a bleep about what we're talking.
I understand.
So, Bob, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good one. There goes Bob and Carmel. 479-1080 is the phone number for you to call here. If you don't like what we're talking about, or it's boring you to death, or you love what you're hearing, give us a call at 479-1080 in area 831. We would like to hear from you. Here's Jack in Salinas. Jack, you're on the air.
Hello. Yeah, I live in a small community out in South Monterey County called Egypt, and I have a satellite internet connection. Now, of course, there's HughesNet, and I have Sky Blue, or Wild Blue, actually, and they offer three speeds, 0.5, 1, and 1.5 megabytes per second, and it costs almost the same. It's expensive, but it's much better than dial-up.
Right. Well, good.
That's satellite.
Okay, so yeah, I've heard that satellite is horrible. That it's expensive and it's not very good, so, but that's not your experience, right?
It's expensive. Well, compared to dial-up, it's good.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thanks.
There's something to keep in mind, I think, and that's that speed can be deceiving, right? In this case, there's a lag issue, which is satellite. You got to get something halfway around the planet, basically. You got to shoot up to geostationary orbit, and it takes a lot of time. And so once you wait for that connection to be established, then you can get a lot of data through it. So it's like, it's like a really big pipe where when you turn on the faucet, nothing happens for a while. Then all of a sudden, you can get a deluge of water. That's not what I would call broadband necessarily, because you can't do things like what I'm doing right now, voice over internet, and you can't, it makes it a lot harder to do banking transaction where you have to go back and forth to make a secure connection. So it's definitely better than dial-up, but it's not a substitute for real broadband. And I think we see nobody takes satellite when they have an option of real broadband.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I have always believed. Here, that voice belongs to Chris Mitchell. He's coming to us from Minneapolis, Minnesota, via Skype out. Did I say that right? You're calling out on a Skype. You're using the Skype servers.
That was my first goal, but when I called you, it said that my phone number was blocked and you wouldn't accept the call. So I tried again using a different service called Google Voice.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm using now.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, great. That's nice to know, because Mr. Logic is on Skype. Of course, he has already confessed to us that he is using his neighbor's, via Wi-Fi over the air, and it's not, the best connection to begin with. And that's why, he's been cutting in and out a little bit. You there, Mr. Logic?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay,
can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, we hear you okay now, but when you were talking a little while ago, you were cutting in and out. And so...
I don't know why that was. I've closed down all my internet connections here in case they were causing a problem, but, we'll see what happens.
Well, you sound really good. The technical quality sounds good, but the stability of the connection, at least earlier in the program today, was not as good as we would like it, because you
wireless
did cut out a few
just days. Funky.
Yeah. Okay, and that's Chris Mitchell who said that.
The technical term.
Yes. 479-1080 if you want to participate. We're going to continue this discussion about wireless and internet connection speeds and stuff like that right up until the top of the hour. Then we're going to go into a true open mic program here where the callers can call in and sort of drive the program here. And
Michael,
yes, sir.
Also, I'd want to comment, about 2 weeks ago, we had the eclipse of the sun, or you might call it the transit of the moon. And then coming up on Tuesday is the transit of Venus, which is a rare event. It only happens like once every 100 years or so. And I was going to maybe comment on that a little bit.
That'd be fantastic. Thanks for giving that great tease for the next hour, Mr. Logic. I assume you can be with us, right, during the next hour? Fantastic. Good. So if you want to give us a call, again, the phone number is 479-1080. The email is mz@ksco.com. Nick Clifford is listening to us on his iPhone right now in the gym via Verizon with a great big exclamation point. Pretty cool. And I will say that I currently listen to KSCO pretty close to as much through my iPhone as over the air, on the car radio or so forth. Because when I get, outside of the range of KSCO, when it gets pretty scratchy, all I do is just, I have a little icon on my main homepage there on the iPhone, and I just touch it, and it just takes about maybe 8 or 10 seconds, and it connects to about the clearest imaginable sound that you can hear, and then I plug it into my stereo system, and it's just as crisp and as clean and as sharp as it could be. My mother lives in Santa Cruz, where our 10,000 watt signal is really, really, really strong, and she actually prefers to listen to KSCO through her computer over the internet. And by the way, Mom is here to sign a book, and we're selling Kay's commentary books here, so come on by 2300 Portola Drive. She'll be here right up until noontime. Love to have you come by, and meeting my mom is a hoot. She is a real character, as I'm sure you will agree from listening to her commentaries. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Jim in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Saturday special with Mr. Logic and Chris Mitchell and MZ. You're on.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. I have the wireless. I live with a couple roommates, right? In the what you call it? In the living room, right? And in my room, I can't hardly get anything. But then I got a longer wire, and I put down the hallway, and it comes in. It says 70%, 80% strength, and it says like 54. I guess it's megabyte per second or whatever. And it says that I'm linked to it. That I'm hooked, connected to the. What do you call it? What's the damn thing?
The Wi-Fi receiver, Wi-Fi right, yeah, transceiver. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's no internet. I mean, it doesn't kick me over to the internet. I use Netgear to connect to it, and it says I'm connected, but then it doesn't kick over to where I'm online. What would cause this? Is that a bad?
It's not properly configured.
It comes on sometimes. That's what's weird. It comes on like in the early afternoon through till about 10 o'clock at night. And then all of a sudden it starts to go.
I would call a consultant if I were you.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, unfortunately. It's hard to diagnose remotely.
I wish we could do that for you on the air here, Jim, but
yeah,
we can't.
I know. All right, thanks, man.
Thanks for calling the Saturday special. That opens up a line at 479-1080. Anyhow, Chris, what do you think is the future of community-based broadband? You think there's going to be more and more of it, obviously, or you would be doing some other you would have another career, right?
Right. We definitely think there's going to be more of it, and that's an outgrowth of the fact that the future of broadband for most communities is basically monopoly. The cable companies are far faster than the telephone companies. Your AT&T just can't keep up. That has to do with the fact that cable companies, it's less expensive for them to offer faster speeds. And so I think we're going to see more communities that are dissatisfied with only really having a single provider of high-speed internet. They're going to figure out how to do it their own way. Because the market's really broken. And I don't think we're going to see a lot from the federal or state governments in this. I think it's really going to be a bottom-up.
So is it unusual for a situation like we have, where we do have not an abundance, but we do have two competing broadband suppliers, as I said, AT&T and Comcast? Is that unusual?
No, that's common, but now I don't know if you have what's called U-verse, but basically AT&T comes in two flavors. One's a little bit faster than the other, but both of them are slower than cable typically. And your market may vary, but in general, the cable connections are just faster than the DSL, and we expect that gap to widen in coming years.
Right.
So there will be two providers, people who aren't looking to do cutting edge things and are willing to be a little bit slower. They'll probably have a lower price option from an AT&T. People who really want to have the faster speeds to be more productive, they'll go with Comcast. And I think it's really important to note that on a proper internet connection, you really shouldn't be waiting for anything. And you can think of it like every time you have to wait for your computer to do something on the internet, to download something or upload it. Yeah. That's the equivalent of being forced to like turn off some lights in your house while turning others on. And it's just not the way a utility should function. We shouldn't have to wait for our computers to do these things over the internet.
Well, who could argue with that? I sure can. Anyhow, we have a caller, Michael at the Summit here. Michael at the Summit, you're on KSCO.
Well, great. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, it's good to hear some geek speak on the radio. I'm all about faster, better when it comes to the DSL. But my question is, especially on community broadband, I kept reading several years ago about WiMAX versus Wi-Fi, and WiMAX had, instead of being 300 feet, could broadcast in miles. Could your guest speak to that, or Mr. Logic, if they know anything about WiMAX and where it's going and who's stopping it from being implemented?
Sure. I don't know exactly why WiMAX fell on its face, but it did.
Oh, it did? Okay. I haven't heard about it too much.
In a number of communities, there's this thing called Clear or Clear Wire, and that's the WiMAX. It was I mean, it's been a mishmash of companies that have invested over the years. Sprint was the most common one. But ultimately, what it comes down to is every few years, we hear a new wireless technology that's supposedly going to solve all of our problems. And 3 years ago, that was WiMAX. Right now, it's LTE, often called 4G. These are things that don't really matter. The simple fact is that people get really wrapped up in these fads, thinking that we can get something for free, that wireless will be this cheap investment, and we'll all have the connections we need. And the reality is that ultimately we need more wires. Wireless may be fine for the last few feet or hundred of feet, but if you're looking at cellular towers, they're too far away, which means that you're sharing that connection with thousands of people. And when you're sharing a connection with thousands of people, your performance is not going to be very good. So, I mean, that's also, I think that's the larger point behind it, is that WiMAX didn't fulfill promises. It was overhyped, and I can't tell you technically why it did, but it is better than Wi-Fi in terms of long distance.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for your call, the Saturday special. That was Michael. Here comes Gordy in Boulder Creek. Not a whole lot of time, Gordy, but...
Yeah, I'm wondering, what's the prognosis for a better future here in the rural areas where we don't have... Any DSL, fiber optic, or cable, and you've already illustrated the problems with Wi-Fi in remote locations. How do we get high-speed service in these areas?
A lot of times that's a job, I think, of the local government in terms of probably a county. And we're seeing that in some areas out here in Minnesota, real farm country. I mean, we're talking real small towns and a lot of area in between. And they're looking at a network that'll be better than anything that Comcast or AT&T offers. And that's because they're looking at borrowing a whole lot of money from the county to build it themselves.